interviews over the camera before?
No.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the job to get started with. The title that we have going right now is Director of Operations, but it's really kind of so much more than that. Responsibilities and requirements are really quite extensive. First category for the requirements would be mobility. This job requires that you must be able to work standing up most or really all of the time, constantly on your feet, constantly bending over, constantly exerting yourself, a high level of stamina.
Okay.
That's a lot.
For how many hours?
135 hours to unlimited hours a week. It's basically 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
I'm sure you'll have a chance from time to time to maybe just sit down here and there, yeah?
You mean like a break?
Yeah.
No, there are no breaks available.
Is that even legal?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So like no lunch?
You can have lunch, but only when the associate is done eating their lunch.
I think that's a little intense.
The position is going to pay absolutely nothing.
Excuse me?
What if I told you there's someone that actually currently holds this position right now? Billions of people, actually.
Who?
Moms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moms.
That's awesome.
And they meet every requirement,
oh,
don't
wow.
they?
Oh my God. Moms are the best!
Thank you so much for everything you do. I know it doesn't seem like I appreciate all of it, but I definitely do.
So, Mom, I want to say thank you for everything that you've done. I love you very much. You've been there through thick and thin. My mom is just awesome. She's awesome.
Aren't moms the best? Happy Mother's Day to all our moms out there. We have notes today. If you would like to follow along, raise your hand if you don't have a copy, and our ushers will get it to you lickety-split because they're awesome. Well, as they said, being a mom's one of the toughest jobs there is in the world, and maybe you're familiar with what I call the parent's favorite commandment, and that's the fifth commandment, which is in Exodus 20:12, and it says, honor your father and mother, that it may be well with you, and you will live long on the earth. And that's one of the Ten Commandments, the only one with a promise like that, that you'll live a long life. And I always joke and say that's because if you obey your parents, they'll let you live to adulthood. They won't kill you. And especially teenagers. This is a favorite scripture for parents with teenagers. So let's just take a few moments to honor our moms that we're blessed with here today. First, if you're a great-grandmother, would you please stand up? Great-grandmothers. We got one here and here. Awesome. Awesome. Keep standing. You have to stay standing. Okay. And how about grandmothers? I'm one of those. I've got two awesome grandchildren. All right. Now stay standing. And now the rest of you are moms. Would you please stand up? Praise the Lord. Now we have gifts. The ushers are going to come now. Stay standing because we have gifts for you. You each get a flower, and there's a little gift packet of soaps that my daughter-in-law Jessica made. They're all natural. There's a heart-shaped one that smells like roses, and then there's a flower one that's fragrance of lavender to help you relax, and they both reflect the beauty and the sweet aroma that each of you provide in this world today. So we just want you to enjoy those. And I'd also like to honor Rebecca DeCana today. She's not here, of course. She's up in Birmingham, but typically she's our Mother's Day speaker, but you're stuck with me today. But, thank you, Wesley. Well, one of my favorite scriptures in life is Psalms 127, 3 and 4. And it says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. And I love that imagery. You know, children have to be aimed at a target. And we want them, of course, to be like Jesus, you know, when they grow up. And as a parent, you've been empowered by God to build an exceptional individual. There's an old saying, you're probably familiar with it. It says, if mom's not happy, then no one happy. And, you know, in recent years, that's kind of taken on kind of a sarcastic flavor. But I remember when it was more of an exhortation to moms that they set the tone of the family. Have you ever noticed that? That moms, you know, if they're happy, it really is true. Everybody's happy, and it's a choice that moms have to make. And, you know, like if you want your children to be kind, then you be kind to them. If you want them to be patient, you're patient with them. And if you want everybody to be in a good mood, you should be in a good mood. So my heart really goes out to young mothers because it's such a challenging time, but yet it's the most incredibly precious time in a mother's life. And I love thinking about things with our, we have four sons, in case you don't know, and they're all grown now. And I just want to assure you that young mothers, you know, you're not always going to be cutting up grapes and hot dogs to keep your children from choking on food. Or, you know, you're not always going to be dealing with a fully loaded diaper. You're not going to have to be shopping for purses that'll carry a diaper and some wipes in them. You know, it goes by quickly. You won't always have to keep a sharp eye out for things that your child can choke on, you know, little toys on the floor. And, you know, well-trained mom, how many of you know what a single stud Lego is? Little, yeah, little, they're like terror in the hearts of mothers everywhere. But, you know, a gifted mom can spot one of those underneath the sofa from two rooms away. And your skill level as a mom depends on the child or children that God has given you. For example, our oldest son, Robert, his ability to contort his large crane's head into small spaces and his affinity for heights trained me well for his three younger brothers that followed him. And we have a saying in our family, the Crames boys don't grow into their heads till they're 12 years old. And Robert and Wesley both had a couple of emergency room visits. What a nightmare that is. How many of your moms have had a nightmare like that? Yeah, I'm sorry. But 50% of our children didn't have to go to the emergency room. Michael and Kevin made it through, you know. So, you know, you may be wondering why your mom freaks out so much. Well, it's your fault because she wasn't a mom until you came along. So just remember that and be patient with her. And, well, I guess I'll say this. For the record, you know, Michael's injuries, his recent injuries, have been after he left the home, so... His mother needs to pray more for him, I think. But today, Michael is in Orlando, actually. He's in a pool of walk-ons for American Ninja Warrior. So he needs your prayers. He really needs a miracle to get on that show. And Carl's mom and I are headed there after lunch today to cheer him on. So, yes, go ahead. Yeah, Jesus. No matter how old your children are, you never stop being a mom, and you're always on the lookout for situations to hurt your baby. You know, don't you hurt my baby. And, you know, God hears a mother's prayer. I think that's such an awesome, powerful thing because there's so much love and faith behind it. And one of my favorite scriptures for young mothers is Isaiah 40:11, where it says, "He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." So in other words, God understands how hard life is, how challenging life is when you have small children. So I just want to, you know, encourage you young moms to really embrace this time and enjoy it. You know, those dirty dishes and that humongous pile of laundry, they're not going anywhere. You know, I've noticed that. They're still there when you get up. And when they start to stink, you do something about them. But, you know, just enjoy this time and take it from me. They're going to grow up before you know it. In fact, I have photographic evidence of this. You see that picture up there on the left? That was taken just yesterday. And then this picture was taken today. Seems like that. Anyway, but, you know, how does that happen? Mary Lou, how does that happen? How do they grow up like that? One day you realize you're old, is what Mary Lou said. But, you know, it just seems like yesterday, I remember the phase where Carla and I got a king-size bed in our bedroom. And that became a wrestling mat. And, you know, it was like on Saturdays, there were these epic whitey-tidy wrestling matches. Does anybody know what those are? I'll tell you later. If you don't know, I'll tell you. But it was such a great memory, you know, and it goes by so quickly. Now, thinking about mothers, we really don't have much to complain about today, because I was thinking about mothers, you know, just 2 and 3 generations ago. Gosh, the demands. They didn't just have to cook dinner. They had to grow it, and they had to can it. And, you know, they had to wash laundry by hand. They had to hang it on a line outside. And there was no air conditioning. You can't turn the air conditioning cooler when you cook lunch. You know, they just had to make it. There were no vacuum cleaners, no dishwashers. Rugs had to be hung on a line and beaten to be clean. There were no Publix or CVSs, and therefore no Walgreens on every street corner. And there were no fast food drive-thrus. Think about that. There was no KFC. When the preacher came over on Sunday, you had to slaughter Helga and prepare lunch for the preacher so he could visit. But, you know, every generation has its own challenges. And today, our children have social lives. And that fills our day with carpools and music lessons, dance lessons, recitals, clubs, sports, physicals, doctor's appointments, dentists. You know, you get the point. It's busy. Life is just really busy now, and it's stressful at times. And you have to really work hard at finding quality time with your children at home. And if you have more than one child, quality time with each child. You know, it's a big challenge. And you know, the other day, Wesley and I were talking about the soccer decades of our life with 4 boys. And with conservative estimates, we attended over 500 soccer games within 15 years. And that doesn't count practices. There were 4 practices for each one every week. So you add it up, it's a lot. But it was really an incredible investment in each of them. And so life is busy for us moms today. And I have a video now that I want to show you. It's a tribute to today's mom.
Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes and your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Where's your books and your lunch and your homework at? Grab your coat and your gloves and your scarf and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tough. Because remember, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3 today. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, choose lovely, but hurry, the bus is here. Be careful, come back here. Did you wash behind your ears? Play outside, don't play rough. Would you just play fair? Be polite, make a friend, don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn, never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make a bed, do it now. Do we have all day? Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Can you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close, turn it down. No texting at the table, no more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod if you don't listen up. Where are you going in with room and what time do you think you're coming home? Saying thank you, please, excuse me, makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait till you have a couple little children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I gave you so willingly. But right now, I'd thank you not to roll your eyes at me. Close your mouth when you chew. We'd appreciate. Take a bite, maybe 2 of the stuff you hate. Use your fork. Do not burp or I'll set you straight. Eat the food I put up on your plate. Get an A. Get the door. Don't be smart with me. Get a grip. Get in here. I'll count 2, 3. Get a job. Get a life. Get a PhD. Get a go. So I don't care if you started. You're grounded until you're 36. Get your story straight and tell the truth for once, for heaven's sake. And if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump too? If I've said it once, I've said at least 1,000 times before that you're too old to act this way. It must be your father's DNA. Look at me when I am talking, stand up straighter when you walk a place. For everything and everything must be in place. Stop crying or I'll give you something real to cry about. Oh! your teeth, wash your face, get your PJs on, get in bed, get a hug, say a prayer with mom. Don't forget, I love you. And tomorrow we will do this all again, because the moms are clever. You don't need the reason why. Because. I said so. I'm the mom. Ta-da!
How would anything ever get done without moms? One of my all-time favorite scriptures as a wife and as a mom and in life is Proverbs 14:1. It says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands or her own actions." You know, in itself, that's an incredibly powerful scripture. It's full of wisdom. But when you dig a little deeper, it'll blow your mind. And maybe your mind's not as combustible as mine. But that word house, it doesn't just mean a dwelling place to live. It means a family, a household, a tribe, and descendants. It means the people in your household. It's your legacy for eternity. And it includes the people that came before you, and it includes the people that come after you. You know, those of you that are in this church family, you belong to the Victory Tribe. So look at your neighbor and say, "How?" I can make that joke. My great-grandmother was Cherokee, so it's okay. In my reference Bible, that scripture 14:1 is directly connected to this one, which is in 2 Samuel 7. And it reads, "The Lord also declares that he will make a house for you when your days are complete." Why would you need a house when your day is complete, right? "And you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." And God kept that promise. He did that through Jesus. "I will be a father to him, and he will be a son to me. When he commits iniquity, I will correct him with the rod of men and the strokes of the sons of men." Now, hang on. Does God love you that much, too, where he sends people in your life to correct you and keep you on the right path? I know he loves me that much. I appreciate it. Verse 15, "But my loving kindness shall not depart from him, as I took it away from Saul, whom I removed before you. Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever." In accordance with all these words and all the vision, so Nathan spoke to David. And this gives us a new understanding of what it means to be a housekeeper. And I really like it. So empowered with that knowledge, let's look at a few more scriptures. In Joshua 24:14, Joshua tells us, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now keep in mind, Joshua wandered the desert for 40 years. At the most, he had a tent. So he's talking about his descendants, his household. Then in John 14:2, Jesus himself said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, large households. If it were not so, I would have told you." What if our mansions in heaven, we always think in this realm, what if our mansions in heaven is made of people? Because I find out more and more that the kingdom of God is always about people. A few years ago, my aunt researched my family tree. She went back 25 generations and traced it back to the Jamestown colony. Now, for those of you who are in the Disney generation, that's Pocahontas and Captain John Smith. That's what we're talking about here. Okay? In the year 1606, Thomas Gray, he's like my grandfather to the 24th power, so... he sailed with 104 people from London on the three ships, the Susan Constant, the Godspeed, and the Discovery. And he was one of only 60 that survived that first year. So they had 45 people who died who came on that first trip. And that was quite a price to pay, you know, for people who came to this nation. And among his children, he had four sons. They were William, Thomas, John, and Francis Gray. And we have four sons, too. I think that's kind of neat. And I'm sure that Kevin's really happy we didn't name him Francis. So, although it would have been a great honor, I think. Before I knew about this fact about our family, I used to ask God, you know, why am I so blessed to be in this country? You know, you see so much suffering the world over, and I'm like, you know, why me, and why am I here? And when I found that out, I was like, you know, this isn't an accident that I'm here. Somebody paid a huge price for me. You know, Jesus paid the price for my sins, but my forefather, Thomas Gray, and countless other people paved the way for me to be here. And there's a reason for it. And I know it's the same for you. All of us in this room, there's a reason that we're here. There's a reason that we're blessed. Somebody paid a huge, huge price. So let me share one more scripture about the house. It's Titus 2:5, where it says, women are to be self-controlled and pure, to be keepers of the house. Now, granted, I bet that used to not be one of your favorite scriptures, because you're like, I don't want to be home taking care and cleaning the house. But now, it's like, I'm keeper of the house of Creams, you know. Mary Lou's keeper of the house of Duke. Kathy's keeper of the house of Gentlemen. We're keepers of the house. We're to look after those that come after us. And, you know, I also want to honor teachers and mentors today, because they have a similar role in caring for children. In fact, if you're a teacher, would you just stand up today? We want to honor you. The next fill in the blank is, every child should be helped to understand that life, their life, is about developing a loving, dynamic relationship with God. Let me repeat that. Every child should be helped to understand that life, their life, is about developing a loving, dynamic relationship with God. This same love overflows to other people, and the Holy Spirit uses this love to reconcile people back to God. As I said earlier, life is about people, and God is always about growing his family. And we have a final scripture, which is Isaiah 49:1. It says, the Lord called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother, he made mention of my name. Now, some of you thought that was just a movie, didn't you? The Matrix. And it's probably blowing your mind right now. You're like, oh, that was a womb. They were like floating in there. But anyway, stay with me. God knows our name. He knew our name before we knew our name. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun here today. But, you know, Mother's Day, like all holidays, is hard for some people. And no matter how old you are, when your parents are gone, you feel like an orphan. By the time I was 45, both my parents were gone, and all of my grandparents were gone, and they're all in a better place, thank the Lord. But, you know, it's hard when you want to pick up the phone and tell them something cute the kids did, or get their wisdom on one of life's challenging decisions. But, you know, life goes on, and we honor them on days like today. You know, or maybe you're here and you have regrets, you know, about your relationship with your mom or with your children, and maybe circumstances haven't turned out quite the way you imagined they would. There's this scene in the movie Gone with the Wind that it really ministers to me strangely. It's where Rhett Butler tells his wife Scarlett, he went over to England for a while, and he took their daughter away, and the daughter was crying and missing her mother, and he brought the daughter back, and he told Scarlett that even a bad mother is better than no mother at all. Now, husbands, I do not recommend you ever say this to your wife. That would be really stupid, and you'd never get over it. But it does have some truth to it, because, you know, for people who don't have, that grow up without their moms, you know, life has a lot of challenges. There are a lot of emotional struggles for them to overcome. And people aren't perfect, you know. Even the best mom's going to disappoint you from time to time. But this movie, it speaks to me, because it's like, when I mess up, I'm like, okay, God, I messed up. But at least they have a mother, you know. It's like, they have a mom. A lot of kids don't have a mom. And he's, like I said earlier, he gently leads those with young. He's merciful to us. If a mom, if you've messed up, God's merciful to you. And he wants to help. You know, we find out in our life small groups that forgiveness is always the key to unlocking hurt in our lives. And many of us don't understand what forgiveness is, or better stated, what it is not. Forgiveness is not saying that what happened is okay. It's not saying that it was all right. And it's not even forgetting about it, but it's extending that same mercy that God extends to each of us to another person that's hurt you. So if you're here today, I have a serious question. Why don't we bow our heads? Because I want to ask you a serious question. You know, if you're struggling with hurt today, like you have an offense towards your parent or even towards a disrespectful child, I'd like to pray for you right now. With everybody's eyes closed, if you'll just lift your hand, I want to pray for your hurting heart. Thank you, Lord. Father, you see these hands and hearts. God, help them forgive and let go of these hurts. Lord, give them a plan to make life better. God, we don't want to be bitter. We want to be better, Lord. And God, help us not to seek revenge, but to choose to be merciful to others, the same way you've been merciful towards us. And now I have another prayer. It's a really important prayer. If you've never prayed to receive Jesus in your life, I want to pray with you now. You remember that scripture I mentioned earlier, Isaiah 49:1. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he made mention of my name. God knows your name today, and he has a plan for all of us. You know, maybe up to this point, you've missed your mark, and nobody's really pointed you towards the target. And today, God offers you the opportunity to take up your bow, your life's bow, and point the arrow of your heart towards him. So if that's you, would you just lift your hand, and I'm going to pray for you as well today. Thank you. That's awesome. Okay, well, let's help them pray this prayer together. Repeat after me. God in heaven, I know I'm a sinner, and I need your help. I believe in my heart that Jesus is your son, that he died for my sins, and God raised him from the dead. Jesus, right now, I open my heart and invite you in. Make yourself real to me. Take control of my life. Keep me from evil and make me the person you want me to be. Be my Lord and Savior. And now, Lord, we bless you this beautiful day of remembrance. Thank you, God, for the gift of mothers and mentors in our life. You're so smart, God, and you love us so much. Help us, God, to be kind and thoughtful and thankful people. And we have one last video tribute for the moms this morning.
Happy Mother's Day.
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 Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day, Mommy.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom.